been, of course, preaching through John's gospel. Today we'll be in chapter 19. But way back in chapter 12, we read of the Palm Sunday account of Jesus riding the young donkey into Jerusalem, and Craig shared that at the beginning of our service. If you remember, the people cried out to King Jesus, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." And they laid the palm branches down before him. And on that day, they worshiped Jesus as king. In fact, the Bible tells us if they hadn't done it, the very rocks would have cried out in praise to King Jesus on that day. But just a few days later, on Friday morning at Pilate's Praetorium, these people that had cried out for Jesus to be their king would now cry out for Jesus to be crucified. And that's where we are today in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. Here we find the real and rightful King of the Jews brought out in front of the people on the steps of Pilate's hall. So let's look at this together. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Jesus then came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify! Crucify!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." So they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he handed him over to them to be crucified. As Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, presented Jesus to the crowd, did you catch what he said? "Behold your king." Now, in saying those words, Pilate didn't really believe that Jesus was a real king. And the people that cried out, "Crucify him," didn't believe that Jesus was their king. But when John recorded this scene for us, John knew exactly who Jesus was and is. He knew that Jesus is the King of Kings. For John, the kingship of Jesus was real. And John is wanting us to look and see that Jesus is the King. And in his willingness to go to the cross for us sinners, he was doing the most kingly act that had ever been done. But let's think about this statement from Pilate. Behold your King. And if you'll give Jesus an honest look as he is presented in this passage, you have to answer three questions. The first question you need to answer is, will you adore this ridiculed king? You know, Pilate, he's already struggling a bit what to do with Jesus. He's determined that Jesus has done nothing wrong, and he sure hasn't committed a crime that's worthy of death. And so Pilate, he's trying to find a compromise position. He's deciding that he's going to punish Jesus in some way, and he's hoping that will satisfy, that will placate the Jews enough that they won't finally in the end want to crucify Jesus. And so that's what we get recorded here in the first verses of chapter 19. So Jesus, as a result, he's mocked. He's abused. He's paraded in front of the crowd as a sham king. But yet, even as you behold what was meant to shame and mock Jesus, the question remains, will you still worship and adore him as your king? See, verse 1, John wrote that Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Now, we don't use that word very much anymore. There's actually two correct pronunciations of it, scourge and scourge. Either one is correct. I just use scourge. That's the way I was taught. But what does that mean, besides being just a funny-looking word? It means to be whipped with a special whip. It was a whip that had multiple braids on it. And within those braids were pieces of pottery, glass, stone, shards of metal. And when you were struck with it, it cut deeply and it ripped out hunks of flesh. It was unusually brutal. It didn't just leave one stripe across the back. It left many stripes. On the heels of this scourging, John adds in verse 2 that the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and they forced it on his head and they put an old purple robe on him. And then the soldiers began having fun at his expense. They mocked him by saluting him with the phrase, "Hail, King of the Jews." Bible tells us that they slapped him in the face repeatedly. Other gospel writers tell us that Jesus was punched. Jesus was spat on. Jesus was grabbed by the beard and the hair of his beard yanked out. They laughed and laughed as they continued to rough up the prisoner. By the time they finished, the man that was presented before the crowd was probably bruised, beaten, and swollen beyond recognition, and you can say he looked anything but regal and royal. And so Pilate brings Jesus out to show the crowd the punishment that he's inflicted on Jesus. And did you catch in verse 5 what Pilate said? Behold the man, not the king, the man. I want you in your mind to picture that. To recognize what Jesus went through even before they nailed him to the tree. And the crowd, when they looked on this pitiful figure, they said, "Man, we don't want anything to do with him." But as you behold that scene in your mind, do you love him and adore him even more? Do you look at that lowly wounded man with a heart that pounds with the heartbeat of love? That's what we as God's people should do. Because when we vision Jesus in this way, we remember that he endured all of that mocking and beating for us. It is what Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being, for our peace, for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." As the soldiers were making sport of him and mocking him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," they intended this to be ironic. They intended it to be a humorous scene. They were intending to demonstrate something that was the opposite of what they believed. But actually, the irony is on them, isn't it? In spite of their crude humor, the greater irony is this, is that Jesus really is the king. They were saying, "You obviously are no king, just look at you." But yet he was a king far greater than their brutality could ever recognize. So while the soldiers are saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," will you adore this ridiculed king? Will you bend your knee? And hail him who saves you by his grace. And crown him Lord of all. Will you do that? There's a second question I want you to think about and answer in your heart today. Will you acknowledge this righteous king? Look again at verse 4. What do you see? It says, the Pilate brings Jesus out for the people again. He's ragged. And Pilate still says, even after all this punishment, notice Jesus never hurls insult or abuse or sarcasm back. Even after all this, Pilate says again, I find no guilt in him. Pilate can't find any reason why Jesus should be crucified. No reason. He's perfectly righteous. But yet when the crowd saw Jesus dressed up in that sad, sick garb of a false king, rather than having pity on him, what happens? They become even more enraged. And so one word rings out from below, and it's crucify. This crowd wanted his execution. There was no turning back for them. So Pilate dismissively, knowing Jesus is innocent, dismissively says to them, well, then you do it yourselves. Well, that presented a problem for the Jews. Pilate knew it when he said it, that the Jews did not have authority on their own to crucify or to execute anybody. So after Pilate had sarcastically said that they ought to do it themselves, the Jews then, they step it up. And they say in verse 7, here's our charge against him. Here's what really upsets us about this man. That we have a law that you shouldn't blaspheme God. And this guy, this Jesus, has made himself out to be the Son of God. He's claimed to be equal with God. Now in their minds, for a man to say that, that was heresy. It was blasphemy. In their eyes, they didn't see Jesus as Son of God. They said, this man is a sinner because he is desecrating the name of the God that we love. So as we hear this accusation ring out from the crowd, you know what? The crowd's right. In one sense, they're right. Jesus has claimed to be the Son of God. He has presented himself as the Son of God. He has claimed that he was sent from God. He has claimed that he was equal with God. In fact, that was the claim of his whole life. So there was nothing that the crowd said as far as the claim of Jesus that was incorrect. Where they erred was when they said Jesus had made himself out to be the Son of God. Pay attention. Jesus did not make himself out to be the Son of God. Jesus lived himself out as the Son of God. He was the one who lived that life that no one else could ever possibly live. He was the one who proved his words by his life. No one else could do what he had done except God. If they were to go find the blind man from John chapter 9 and ask him, "Who do you think Jesus is? Is he the Son of God?" The man who had regained his sight would say, "Oh yeah, he's the Son of God." Go look up Lazarus, who had been called back from the grave after 4 days, and say, "Lazarus, do you think Jesus is the Son of God?" And Lazarus is going to go, "I don't think it. I know it. Who else could call me back from the dead after 4 days?" Only God could do that. The disciples pretty much had scattered at this point. But they would have to remember, if you asked them that question, they'd have to go, "Well, you know, I only think the Son of God could walk across the stormy sea in the middle of the night and walk on the waves and the wind to come see us. And by the word of his mouth, command that the storm be stilled instantly. Only God could do that." Well, when Pilate heard that this crowd said he claimed to be the Son of God, and Pilate already seeing the innocence and the holiness in this man, John says, Pilate shook in his boots. That's what mine says. I don't know if yours. It doesn't really say that. What it said is he became even more frightened. It shook him to the core of his soul. And so he decided to pull Jesus back into private again and ask him again. And so Pilate says to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Now, if there was ever a moment for a man to speak up, it was before Pilate. And what did Jesus do? He didn't answer him. Now, this upset Pilate. After all, he's full of himself because he is the Roman governor. And he's full of himself and he says, "So you're not going to talk to me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or release you?" And the words of Jesus cut him to the core in verse 11. You see what Jesus said? Jesus said, "No, you don't. No, you don't. You would have no authority over me unless it has been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Don't miss this. Here's the Jews thinking they have Jesus right where they want him. Pilate is thinking, "I have control over this situation. I have the power to crucify this man or release it." And Jesus is saying, "No, you don't. They don't have me where they want me. I have them where I want them. I'm the one in control. This world is going to sling its sinful most at me," Jesus is saying. "But I'm in control." Jesus is the real power at work here. But Jesus is not going to use his power and his authority to defend himself. He's not going to defend himself against the sinners. He's going to instead die for the sinners. Folks, behold your righteous King. No one righteous except him. So will you adore this ridiculed king? Will you acknowledge this righteous king? And there's the third question. Will you accept this rejected king? After Pilate heard what Jesus had to say about who was really in power, he tried again to release Jesus, but the Jews were not going to be dissuaded. And again, Pilate was not man enough to stand up to them. So in the end, the folks, in the clearest statement they could make, they would cry out, "Away with him! Crucify him!" And Pilate's still dragging his feet. But the Jewish leaders, they had one trump card still up their sleeve. And what was that card that they hadn't played yet? And it was the biggest card they had in their deck. It was the Joker. It was their wild card. It was Caesar. And they remind Pilate, "Pilate, you know, you're a governor." And what they're saying is, you can read between the words of what they're saying, you know, you got your position by, you were appointed by Caesar. And Caesar's not a nice guy. You know, he's been known to call back his governors if there's too much political unrest. And he's been known to call those governors back and depose them. And reading between the lines, and Pilate, you know, sometimes Caesar not only deposes them, he executes them. And so Pilate, you really don't want us sending a letter to Caesar talking about how awful you are and incompetent you are and what a terrible thing, and raise a little rabble around here and draw his attention that things aren't going quite so smoothly and possibly get recalled and get your head chopped off. That's what they're saying. Pilate, he says he's a king, and anyone who says he's a king is no friend of Caesar's. And if you let him go, you must be a friend of this king, and means you're no friend of Caesar. Pilate's not dumb. So the Bible tells us then that Pilate goes and he sits down at his seat at the pavement, Gabbatha, the place of judgments. Everybody there knew what this meant. Pilate was going to render his verdict. And in the end, what happens? Pilate fears Caesar more than God. And Pilate asked then again, "Shall I crucify your king?" And did you see what the crowd cried out in verse 15? They said, "We have no king but Caesar." For the Jewish people to cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." Do you see that they were making a choice? Go all the way back. God never intended for them to have any other king than him. Even a king like David. God said, "I'll give you a man to rule over you. But he's only put there by my power, by my authority, and I'm to be your ultimate king." And so when they cried out, "We have no king but Caesar," what they are saying is, "We reject this king." And now, all through the centuries later, every one of us comes to that same decision Who is your king? Who's king of your life? It may not be Caesar of Rome, but who's king of your life? Is it Jesus, the rejected king? Will you accept him? The decision's all yours. Did you notice something? What Jesus didn't say? When the crowd chose Caesar, Jesus said nothing. He gave them their wish. The same is true today in 2015. If you reject Jesus, He will let you. He will love you the same. His heart will break. But He gives each of us the choice. So what will you do? If you've never chosen Jesus to be king of your life, behold your king. Let's pray. Father, today is a decision point. God, I thank you that long ago I chose you to be my king, to make Jesus Lord of my life. But yet, Lord, in some ways, every day when I get up, I have to choose to let Jesus reign and rule in my life every day. But God, just as I know I made that decision for eternity so long ago, that everybody has to come on their own and come face to face and to behold their king and to choose whether to accept or reject. Father, I pray that today there will be a decision to accept the King that so many have rejected. Bless our invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you need to accept Jesus.